Jingles!
Welcome to the TK Jingles podcast, featuring songs from tkjingles.com. I'm your host, Jerry Negrelli. Coming to you live from a disclosed location in Annandale, Virginia, this is the first episode of 2017, so we'll be looking back at some of the classic clips and songs from 2016. We will also feature our first induction into the TK Jingles Hall of Fame, honoring one of our most wonderful and famous jinglers. We've also got some great new music from the past week, including songs about Tony's Restaurant, like this one. Please come inside, a warm welcome for all. Except for you, Raju, your picture is on the wall. Take a table near the front, and you can watch an old man die if you're here before nine. A bottle of blue, cheese you don't recognize, complimented by bowling alley fries. You'll eat what Tony says you want, because it's Tony's Restaurant. Okay, I wanted to start the show by just letting everybody know that we have a major announcement coming in the next few weeks, an event planned for June 24th. Details still being worked out, but stay tuned for details. Listen to this broadcast, and we'll talk about it all here first. And then, you know, the most important thing we're going to do today is the TK Jingles Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Now, this prestigious award recognizes jinglers who have made a positive contribution to the community and received at least 10,000 downloads. And like the Baseball Hall of Fame, it requires a period of inactivity before you're eligible. This year's inductee is Jason Fuse. Jason first started at TK Jingles with a wonderful jingle titled Liz's Gloves that blended the melodies of two songs and...
It's time for Tony's back.
What the hell is that? Did Jason record something this month? Oh, man, he's no longer eligible. All right, welcome back, I guess, Jason. Glad you're here. What am I going to do with this solid gold plaque?
Here's some for all of you folks.
October 28th, 2016. Dear Diary. George Solomon's students keep showing up at my door like I'm the Pied Piper. Hey, George, you want me to mow your lawn and wipe your dog's too? Go yourself. December 16th, 2016. Dear Diary. Jaworski sucks at picking games. I keep trying to prop him up, but this is ridiculous. He watches film 80 hours a week, and his picks are worse than flipping a f***ing coin. Why is he even watching the film? At least the monkey has an excuse. He's usually three sheets to the wind, and he's watching Star Wars with Nigel. By the way, I just know Nigel dressed up as a Wookiee at the Rogue One premiere. He probably had Reginald dress up like an Ewok. It's so hard for me to not mock him every single day of his life about this. And he probably has a toy Millennium Falcon, too. Also, no damn 4% cottage cheese at the Safeway! The guy there asked, have you tried the 0%? It's really good! 0%? Are you kidding me? Go feed that mortar mixture to the lab rats before you take the urine specimens upstairs. December 17th, 2016. Dear Diary. I love my kid, and I played it off on air. But where exactly does he get off suggesting I didn't teach him how to bowl when he was younger? Hey, you know what, son? I was busy working my ass off trying to earn enough money so that you could go to a damn Ivy League school. And then I have to hear, I didn't get the meal plan. I had to eat a Wawa. Well, why didn't you get a damn gig at the college bookstore 10 hours a week and join the workforce with the rest of us? How about you keep your Ward Cleaver fever dream to yourself? Also, Diary, I had a thought go through my head as I was staring at a wall the other day that all of Sheehan's weather watchers were former lovers of his when he worked his way through college as a gigolo. I wonder if it would be poor form to ask him if that's true. That would explain why they're all fossils.
Oh, Scottsdale, Arizona, ain't no part of Washington. But when you fly out there, you'll find a pocket square in the jacket of a Mike Wilbon. Now, Wilbon's not a drinker, although he likes to party with Sir Charles. And you'll hear how he tells that more than half of his pals have been on Dancing with the Stars. And he's mad, Mike Wilbon, the maddest cat out of Evanston. Hasn't got the longest fuse, but tell us more about your shoes.
Hey, there's Michael on a Shetland pony, wearing a shit-eating grin is Tony. Look at that laughing at his kid now. It's almost like his children are just column prompts. You're a bad dad. Bad dad. Bad. Cause you make him feel ashamed. Red face. For your own entertainment. And why? And why? You blame everything on being an only child. You're a bad.
Pony, what are you doing?
Michael Dad remembers everything he says, like don't buy horses and don't buy jets. Was there a third thing on that list? I forget. Oh well, it probably wasn't that important. Now today I've got a major announcement. The socialite was bored. So me and Alan and Gary and Maury, we sunk all our money into some bar. You thought by now you'd have sent me to Florida, or I'd be wandering in front of an old bookstore. But instead I lost my common sense, and this is the end. This is the end of the inheritance.
Just a word before we go. The quiet car has rules to follow, so sit still and be quiet. Now I'm not one to really complain, but I think that motor mouth's on the wrong train. Come on, man! Be quiet. Is that Saliza? Pull out your copy of Mice and Men, or stare straight ahead and count to 10. But sit still and be quiet. That would make Liz happy now. You sit still. You and be quiet. You. Honestly, I don't care about your Redskins mittens. Just stop talking. Grandma's about to shush you. Shh.
Wonderful new music from Jason Fuse, Robert Berg, Brad Weiss, myself with an idea from Andrew Ware, Steve Lipton, and the last one there, KJ and Robert's collaborating on that one. As a reminder, I don't have any real sponsors on the show, so if you like what you hear and want to support this, please download or stream the album emails, faxes, and notes on iTunes or Spotify and hear some of those classic tunes from 4 years ago. Or go to tkjingles.com/store and pick up a t-shirt. Hey, you could be like Brad Weiss and own 5 of them. That would be awesome.
So what did you do? Another Gretchen Wu moment?
Yes, oh boy. Gretchen Wu came.
I'm hearing the sounds. I'm hearing the sounds.
Me too.
She describes herself as younger female Asian version of Toni Kornheiser.
Just, you know.
Yes.
Nigel's sitting there with Gretchen Wu.
talking sports and some ancient history too. Speaking Latin's nice, so this couple's gone out twice. And Nigel's looking for a reason not to leave. Oh, Gretchen Wu, Nigel's into you cause you remind him of somebody else. A bald orange Jew that he sees every day, who sounds a lot like yourself. Gretchen, there's still time, change your mind, change your name, and leave this all behind. Gretchen, he'll break your heart, he's only after a green card. Nigel's looking for a reason.
When I'm in the car with my two little girls, we usually listen to music, and we have Sirius Radio, so the pop stations tend to be on there. And a song that they've recently gotten really attached to is this Rob Thomas song called Pieces. And so that's been stuck in my head for a month. And so last podcast episode, I did a parody at the very end called Pizza of Pieces. And I mentioned to the girls that I had done it, so they said, oh, we really want to hear that. I mean, I rarely play them this show especially, but, you know, the jingles from time to time they listen to. And so I played it, and the song started, we caught the tail end of my narration where I'm talking to, you know, the listeners, and they say, thanks, folks. And when Eva heard me say that, she said, why did you say folks? Nobody else is listening to this. And so while that wasn't intentional, it was an amazing slam. But I pulled out the download stats, and I set her straight, so we don't have anything to worry about.
This year's show is gonna suck. You should have come last year. That was good. It was raining.
All right, earlier in the show, I teased that we have a major announcement coming soon. TK Jingles Live 3 doesn't have a title yet, sort of has a date, doesn't really have a location. But I wanted to kind of get the word out early here. And I also wanted to crowdsource some ideas. So, here are some suggestions from folks, and I welcome you to send me your own ideas, ChineseFood@TKJingles.com or on Twitter and Facebook. So here are some titles. So Adam Benson says, TK Jingles Live 3, plausibly live and undisclosed. Ross, TK Jingles Live, cubed steak. Bill Laheka, TK Jingles Live 3, more livery. And there's a whole logo that goes along with that. And then Lewis, back for more laughs. Steve Lipton, even liver let die. Nolan, even liverer. And that actually was the original working title as I've thought through this the last 6 months. But I feel like there's got to be something funnier than that or more ridiculous. And John Fitzpatrick, who I think helped to really christen the subtitles of the last one, you know, come for the best, stay for the worst and all that nonsense. He suggests La Jinglerie, which could be pretty good. And then my favorite, the one that has my heart right now that I'm leaning towards, is from Sean Morrissey, TK Jingles Live 3, The Desolation of Song. Or actually, I mispronounced it. TK Jingles Live 3, The Desolation of Songe. Ah, that is fantastic.
When I drive, I look at the side of the road, and if there are stores, I announce what stores they are. It's just something I do.
Shell station.
Yeah. Somebody's nails and waxing. I forgot some woman's name, nails and waxing. So you know what that is. You know, you're not going in there for a home-cooked meal. You're going in there for your nails to get done and for various body parts to be waxed. Okay, I'm okay with that. There's BP gas or whatever, Liberty Gas. Now there's Floyd's Barbershop on the right-hand side before I get here.
Where are you?
What's it?
Mattress City.
Oh, yeah, that's his.
This is from
Joe Farrell.
No, this is from Forget Paris. This is Billy Crystal's father-in-law.
The old
does
guy
he
in
do
the
this too?
This is all he does.
So this is what I do.
Right, yeah.
Wow, see? There must be a
life imitating art.
So that's my life now. Right. I just announce things. So on the way here, and this is what upsetting. I guess it's upsetting that Uh-oh. What happened. When I was
young. You mean uplifting?
No, I mean upsetting.
Okay, just
when I was young, you would pass a McDonald's. Now I'm going back over 50 years.
Right.
McDonald's probably came to Long Island. They were not in Long Island early. They probably came to Long Island in the mid-60s. So I'm, you know, however old I am then, I'm in high school or something like that. And I haven't really noticed this. Today, I noticed for the first time, and I'm sure they've done this for the last 30 years, but I noticed for the first time that under a McDonald's sign on Rockville Pike, as you're going north on the west, on the west left, side, okay. on the left side, yeah, west right. side, right? Left side, west side?
No, the eastbound lanes, north. Or the southbound
I'm
lanes.
I'm going north.
Right, so on the yeah. southbound so
it, but
side.
That's, but that's the west side of the street.
Okay, I mean, that's a little confusing. You're talking about a north-south running street, but yes, you're correct. That would be the western side of
There's
the street.
There's a McDonald's.
Yeah. That's right.
There's a McDonald's. Wow. And what it says underneath was upsetting to me.
If you can read this, you're dying.
No. It said restaurant. I don't look at a McDonald's as a restaurant. No, not a restaurant.
Yeah, sure.
Where's
the you? You got the Palm, you
Absolutely
got McDonald's.
Absolutely not. No, it's what? Not a restaurant.
What's the criteria?
They call themselves like a family first, restaurant.
Like a flowing chocolate fountain?
No, the first thing, yes. the first
Google
thing
this.
For me in a restaurant is service.
Yes.
It's
a waiter
service.
Or a waitress coming to you.
Yes.
To your table. They,
and even in, yes. you know, but I don't consider a car hop place a restaurant, you know, where they come out and they put the food on the side of your car.
No.
So McDonald's does have a place for you to sit. And McDonald's welcomes people to sit down, but I don't consider it a restaurant.
How about a fast food restaurant?
Which doesn't
you buy
say
that,
that.
No, designation?
I don't think a cafeteria is a restaurant. Any place where you have to get a tray and go through or get your food, go to a counter, and then schlep it back to your table, that's not a restaurant.
But I would consider if you go to a place that has a buffet and your table is at least bussed and somebody comes over and says, can I help you with something or anything, that's close to a restaurant to me. That's close. But, you know, so then I began to wonder, well, what about the Applebee's of the world? I guess they're restaurants. Because they have service, but they have a certain kind of food that for me, I mean, I'm not making plans.
The internet here is claiming technically that a restaurant is a place where meals are served to the public, or which a place where people pay to eat meals. So basically, it's a place where you would order
food
and sit
truck.
And eat it. Yes, yeah. technically it could be.
That's a very loose definition.
So you agree with me, right?
Oh,
when
yeah.
you see restaurant,
yeah. we're not talking about
Taco Bell, not a restaurant.
Tablecloths or
well,
not
if McDonald's is,
or
it
good
is
good food or bad food, but we're talking about a different standard, which
yes,
is like
service.
You are served at a table.
Service. You order.
That's
you're
a restaurant.
Served. You don't buy that?
I'm not sure where I stand. No, I think it would be in a certain class, a certain designation of restaurant. I would call it a fast food restaurant. I may even
fast
give it
joint.
A family
joint.
Restaurant designation.
No, Golden Corral.
But no.
What is Golden Corral?
Still, it's a tray situation and you go through a line.
You
I
have
think.
The buffet.
I think.
Yeah, CC Pizza or Chipotle. No, you're standing there
right.
like you're on a subway train
yes.
and you're waiting to go through and you know and
you're
that's
pointing
not,
at ingredients.
A restaurant
yeah,
is a business
restaurant.
Which
a
prepares and
not.
Serves food and drinks to customers in exchange for money, either paid before or
not
after the meal.
Not to me.
Or with an open account. Meals are generally served and eaten on the premises, but many restaurants
well, okay.
offer takeout and food delivery.
Okay, then let's go to the magic button. Is the Wawa a restaurant? Is
no.
Sheetz a restaurant?
No.
Because they, by
good
that
point.
Definition,
but
they
not
are,
meals. They don't. They
well,
don't.
The meals.
They do
sandwich can be a meal.
I guess
you get
you're
a
right.
big meal. You can right. get anything you want.
Sure.
You,
Skittles.
You can go what the Royal Farms. The
right.
Royal
you're
Farms
right.
has good chicken.
Definitely great
the
chicken.
The Royal Farms is. I,
wow,
I
has great sandwiches.
If you can buy great gas, stuff. I don't think it's a restaurant.
That's probably
I mean,
a
I
fair
believe,
rule, generally speaking.
This song's called Tony's Restaurant. It's about Tony in a restaurant. Well, not really a restaurant, rather something that calls itself a restaurant. Now, it all started when Tony was driving up Rockville Pike the other day, shouting things out as he's wont to do. Cindy Nail, 35 mph, La Fitness. But then he noticed a sign he'd not seen before. Now, he was headed north, and the sign was to his left. That is to say, it was on the westerly side, or the southbound side. And he was headed north, remember? So this was on the opposite side of the road from Tony. He was going against rush hour traffic, but this sign was for a location on the westerly, southern, south side of the street, just so we're clear. So on this southwesterly side, Tony saw a sign for a restaurant, and he knew it was not a restaurant. It was a McDonald's. Now, maybe McDonald's fits the Merriam-Webster definition of a restaurant, that is to say, a business establishment where meals or refreshments may be purchased, but if you follow that definition, then pretty soon you'll be calling Applebee's a restaurant. And really, they may as well sell gasoline there, because Applebee's is as much a restaurant as a Wawa or a Sheetz. The kind of place you'd stop on a long drive, not a place you'd eat a meal or expect to receive your mail. And so let's get back to McDonald's, which is, after all, the point of this 18-minute massacre. If you have to stand in line like you're at the post office, where there are no waiters or busboys, or where the cheapest entree costs less than $30, well then, you can call it anything you want, just don't call it a restaurant. Drive right through in your pickup truck, feed your family for $20. You can call it anything you want, just don't call it a restaurant.
So as you probably noticed, we've been playing clips and some great songs from the past year. Now we're going to get into a big montage of those. Here's some songs by KJ, Jason Fuse, Robert Berg, myself, Joe Arrow, everybody. I mean, this is the whole kit and caboodle here. I'm probably going to leave names out if I try to name them all. But now this is just a montage of some of my favorite moments of 2016. I asked for some feedback on Facebook. I hope you're able to join the conversation and call out your favorite tunes. If I missed something, please let me know. But here's a small collection of the, 800 or so songs that were submitted in the past 12 months. Hope you enjoy it.
Amoxicillin won't cure it, so do the natural thing, go find a Burger King. Gotta talk to that E. coli to speak of a number one with fries. Quit the chemicals included, you'll be just fine, though you're infected with staph. And when you get the
Sands of the Golf Channel joins us now, and there's the drama of the Masters was second only to the notion of how many people during the course of the Masters week yelled out "La Cheeserie" to Steve Sands. So we need to clarify that before we move on to the Masters. How many?
The over under on the week was 41.
Right,
the 4 days.
Right,
and it flew over.
Really,
it was outrageous how many people came up to me and yelled "La Cheeserie." I think a few of them actually were taken off the property by security for yelling too loudly.
Hi, welcome to Calvert Woodley. How can I help you?
I'd like some Merlot and some Zinfandel.
All right.
And some Cabernet.
Okay. Anything else?
Oh, yeah. Just one more thing.
What's that?
La Cheeserie!
Picture this, I was with Arnold Palmer sitting near a Georgia green. Out of nowhere, a gentleman approached to deliver a message to me. How could I explain to Arnie this happens all the time? You see, my dad owns a shop that carries stinky cheese and fancy wine.
Hey, Steve Sands, I really had to meet ya. Mr. Tony told the Littles how we should greet ya. Others might ask about the PGA, but Littles only got one thing to say.
When I'm covering the Masters,
La Cheeserie.
With other broadcasters,
La Cheeserie.
With Danny Willett and his trophy,
La Cheeserie.
Or on location in Sochi,
La Cheeserie.
Giving tours of Augusta,
La Cheeserie.
Or with my Allstate adjuster,
La Cheeserie.
Interviewing Ricky Fowler,
La Cheeserie.
Or at the gym in the shower,
La Cheeserie.
Hey, Sam's La Cheeserie.
Scream out!
La Cheeserie.
Scream out!
Have you heard it when you're at the links? Listen up wherever you see Steve. In San Antonio, since it's multilingual. Maybe in Sochi, near the skating rink. Perhaps on TV or Calvert Woodley Wine. Near the Van Ness Metro stop, when it's not on fire. 3,000 followers and not a single tweet. So you have to find him and to give him the little scream.
Oh, scream out!
La Cheeserie.
Scream out!
Cheese shop.
Oh, scream out!
Shop Caseo.
La Cheeserie.
Scream out!
What is wrong with those people?
La Cheeserie.
Oh, scream out!
But Nigel's having a particularly bad day, and I will go through the details.
It's about to get a lot worse, in case you're wondering.
When I got into work, so I said, I'm going to go get some coffee, because coffee's always ready when I get to work. And Nigel said, what?
I haven't made it yet.
Right, I haven't made it yet.
Strike one.
So I said, well, why don't you go out and make it? That would be a pretty good idea.
In fact,
actually, what you said was, well, how can I drink it if it hasn't been made yet?
So then I was able to get coffee.
By the way, I should also point out he just forgot to play the buzzer, like Miss Dancer sound effect, which he should have probably done right there.
So then one when we were going to begin the show with the open, Nigel had the wrong open ready.
Yes.
So that was
strike. But he fixed that.
Right. So that was
just
strike
in the nick
two.
Of time. Was, almost played yesterday's open
right,
again.
Right. That was strike two, and then we were scheduled to have both Pat Forty and Bob Kravitz, and we can't find Forty. And Kravitz warned Nigel last night, don't call me. I'm staying out late, so make
I'll
sure
call you.
I don't know that I'm even going to be awake when you call me. So we have all of these things, and then when you're in the break and there's no Pat Forty, he says, just do something else. And I go, well, what exactly? You're the producer. You get paid
to
come up with the ideas. And so just do something else.
Where is the coffee? It hasn't been made. That's half of the reason why you get paid. Played the wrong open to start the show. The copy you wrote has got a typo. And Tony's patience is wearing thin. Where is Pat Forty? He's not on the phone. I hear Bob Kravitz might not be home. Call them both up and they aren't there. Well, should we just vamp on her like his hair? And Tony's patience is now gone. Cause Nigel had a bad day. The show is going down. Don't think the postcard's gonna turn it around. You know the show really stinks, and that is no lie. You're still being paid, not really sure why. Nigel had a bad day. Now will we get by? Some NHL scores, maybe give that a try. Nigel had a bad day. Yeah, he had a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
avocado, a snack you can't call a dud. It tickles Tim Kirchner's taste buds with every bite. He finds a ripe one. Tim knows it's ready for peeling, and he can't shake this feeling that he'll make guac tonight. But Kevin has a forecast that should have Kirchen worried. A forecast that is cold and packed with sleet. Get to the groceries pronto, Tim, before it starts to flurry. And stock up on the only food that you will eat. Avocado.
Great. This is the dumbest show I've ever seen.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You like to claim you're on the left side of the aisle. Well, let's be honest, a country club is more your style. Chris Christie, Larry Hogan, Bob Ehrlich, you've praised them all. Now when someone mentions Bernie Sanders, we can hear your skin crawl. Aren't you really a Republican? Aren't you nodding when a right-winger's on the stump? Aren't you really a Republican? Come on, Tony, you played golf with Donald Trump. You won't ride Metro and you wanna kill the Purple Line. And every time it snows, you're demanding a big gas-guzzling SUV home from PTI. You drive your Cadillac from the golf course to the steakhouse to the luxury hotel. And if you pass a Prius on the way, I wouldn't say you wish that driver well. Let's get real, Tony. Aren't you really a Republican? Could it be it's the left that you disdain? Aren't you really a Republican? And does this mean you're gonna start like an open shame? Open shame.
He'd like to make the world conform to his priorities. No apple slices hurting dogs, and no cross-country skis. You won't believe this guy's complaints.
What a
about the smallest things.
The smallest.
He's even told us how he hates,
well,
almost everything. How is this a thing?
You won't believe this guy has complaints
about the smallest things. He's even told us how he hates,
well,
almost everything. How is this a thing?
Oy vey, that's enough out of you.
Old Kornheiser, how is this a thing?
Oy vey, that's enough out of you.
Old Kornheiser, how is this a thing?
My son believes, and he loves the jingles. And he's angry because somebody on the Andy Poley website...
Well, that's not Andy's actual
is
website.
...is knocking
yes.
the jingles. Yes. And you can still email if you can't... You know, it's just...
Yeah, we play jingles, we read emails. That's
what
we do.
This is what we do.
Yeah, this show stinks at ESPN.
So how did this come to Michael's attention?
He was
surfing TK Jingles or something?
He said this is the best. This is the best ever. Because he also loves the musical.
Hamilton.
Okay, hit it.
How does an orange, bald man,
always full of bombastic talking. Head on a local radio show and podcast who's often pontificating 1% of problems. Also have a show millions are watching.
It all started when Estelle and Ira had a child, and in the midst of his first cry, he said, "Do you know who I am?" As a juvenile, couldn't work the sippy cup. When he tried it, he slammed it with a plastic hammer, cried, "That's it!" and sent it flying.
He grew guided by a desire to be a writer, so he penned opinion pieces on his teachers just to slight them. His bar mitzvah kinda insipid and uninspiring, cause he couldn't book the classics featuring Howard Feynman.
He found another way to captivate the dollies, his classmates, John Nato and Richard Pollitt. Brent Glass and Peter Lazarus practiced from top to bottom to get on stage and pantomime lollipop in bonnets.
To avoid ridicule, he got sent to sleep away Camp Kiyuma, where an older Jew named Larry was the main man. Soon Larry would leave, a theme he would cultivate. But are you white or blue? Cause it's a break. And what's your name, Cat?
Tony Kornheiser, man. His name is Tony Kornheiser, and soon he will be babbling on your airwaves. He'll fulminate.
In high school, Hewlett tended to be academic, but took driver's ed with supervision, hypothetic, esoteric. Then a truck came through at Mach 2.
The car door went kinetic, but Susan's not moved.
What followed next was college at Hopper up in Binghamton. Named for a professor of Alexander Hamilton, the future institution
for a god that dealt the crack rock.
Reverse the alma mater of a goddess at the snack bar.
The windows would detach and through the gap would walk a stacked blonde. Tony gawked, slack-jawed, and stumbled back to land on Pixie sticks, Pepsi Fizz, spray from the can top, crumpled in a sopping pile of junk, but what a bad bomb.
He's right.
On biology, Tony had missed the lab parts.
He slapped
off, the teacher said, if you know what you can pass, these Sally chips become monkeys, so that's how he proved that. And soon the new grad would be a newsman.
At Newsday, he would be a newsman. From New York, he was a Hewlett man. Just like the dude that writes your BN. Sports, but really info for love. Tony Kornheiser, man.
Tony Kornheiser, man.
Why do we listen to you when you talk about any games or just trivia nights you played? And whether that's not in my state. Ooh.
At the Post, readers jumped on the bandwagon for his column.
Then Monday night, till John Gruden made it awesome.
But PTI's where he steady reckoning the dollars.
Glass grew up with him. Bubis is his one friend.
Raju said enough with him.
Chelsea is stuck with him.
And Will Bond saw this jingle coming.
All that's left is the browser bound, where he'll migrate.
What's his name again?
Tony Kornheiser, man.
Sliced into that red celebrity, but I was only making one BLT. Put the rest into the fridge, and instantly that fruit's insipid. Yeah, they're good homegrown, unless you're Vito Corleone. Don't you get them cold, or they get blander. It's also bad for bananas. Buy before they ripe, but only if you know to put them in a bag for a day or so. But the fridge is a no-no unless you like your fruits in sippin'.
Till it's a tarmac now.
think of what the dogs have given you, Tony. The memories are all in your mind. And now that you've come to adopt a new canine, this is what you say makes you qualified. You tell them once, twice, three dogs you've buried. How will Petco clear you? Yes, once, twice, three dogs you've buried. How will Petco clear you? Tom, how will they clear you?
Oh, you've already killed a dog? Two? Three? Well, then it's your choice of Dot, Trina, or Tilly. Not a problem.
And I know, Mr. Tony, that when you're there, particularly in the West End, for dining options, you love to go to the Golden Corral. Because that's just what you do.
Who doesn't?
Right. The chocolate fountain, ever flowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's wonderful. Well, if you'd been there Monday, right around lunch, there was a bit of a fracas going on. Apparently, one of the dishwashers, who's now a former employee of the Golden Corral, Baha Fayez, was inside washing dishes, doing what he does. And apparently he said he was being bullied by some of the other employees. Mm. So he immediately grabbed a 2.5-foot-long skewer used to roast chicken and began to assault two co-workers and a customer. The customer, we are told... So
it's a shish kebab in the making story.
Yes, okay. Exactly. The customer tackled Fayez until police arrived.
What was the customer doing in the kitchen?
Exactly.
I think he was just sort of by the kitchen,
okay.
And it spilled out.
Okay.
Customers in the
actual dining
area.
So this has nothing to do with the chocolate fountain or the prime rib that they talk about?
No, the endless prime rib.
The endless prime rib for $11.99.
No. Stephanie Morton, who was there with her husband and child, enjoying a wonderful lunch at the Golden Corral, mm-hmm. said she had...
Oh, the lunch buffet is probably cheaper than the dinner buffet.
It's about $1.99.
No, can't be $1.99.
I heard people yelling and two guys come flying out of the back area, littering in a fist fight brawl. A customer jumped in and tried to stop the fight. Before that, she had pots and pans falling in the kitchen. So this is, and by the way, the great thing is the Golden Corral had to send out a statement afterwards and says the restaurant is open for business.
If you go to Enrico, you should try the chocolate fountain at the Golden Corral. Just avoid the kitchen. You might come across a couple guys with shish kebabs rope-a-doping. And after everything is broken, they'll clean up all the blood. And they'll stay open.
That is it for another episode of the TK Jingles podcast. I'd like to end now by commemorating another disappointing season by the Washington Redskins with one of my favorite songs about Redskins frustration. This one's a classic. I think it's about 2 years old, but never gets old for me. I just love the image that it evokes. Hope you enjoyed the show. Send me your email at podcast@tkjingles.com. Let me know what you like. Let me know what you don't like. And hope to have you back here next week.
Watching a game on the tube today stresses me out a lot. I thought RG3 and Kirk were decent, but I get the sense they're not. And now my mind is miles away. And I just need to go get off the couch and stretch my legs. That's it, I'm boiling eggs. I thought this year had to be better, but so far it's more of the same. I can't watch another minute of the
these games.
You left Chicken Palm with your friend Bubez and break some bread that's garlic. You might bring your son and you'll fetch your man.